What's up, everybody? It is Kenyo here. I'm not sure which podcast I'm going to put this audio up on yet, so wherever you're listening to it, thank you for listening. Today, I have a special guest. This is my Black Friday special, I guess, because it's Black Friday here. And yesterday was Thanksgiving, and let me tell you, it was one of the best Thanksgivings of all time, and that was very much thanks to my guest that I'm recording with. You know, I never really thought of Black Friday as much of as part of the holiday, but I seem to be in extended holiday mode, and this is a very relaxed podcast. But I'm very excited for this guest because as I was thinking about the podcast, I was like, you know what, there's actually a lot of stuff that I could probably ask, and there's probably a lot of different stuff that we can cover that will be interesting to me, which is how I decide what will hopefully be interesting to you. So I'm interested in to see how this is going to go. This is going to be really fun. My guest is, I've held you in suspense long enough, none other than Miss Jeannie Johnson.
The real Jeannie Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I only get better, I only make moves. And I'm a dipped owl, but I never quite lose. If we head south, never down with the blues. I'm too bright for that hue.
What's up? This is Hashtag Goals, the Millennials Podcast.
Yes, we're giving you the guide to life. All the mistakes we made, we're helping you to not make those.
Jeannie Perkins?
No.
I say that because I mean,
I got married, but I remained an individual, yet we become one, mm-hmm. But we're both very, he's Rodney, I'm Jeannie, mm-hmm. I'm Johnson, he's Perkins, mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess together we're Johnson Perkins.
Yeah. And there's so much Johnson to be had, I feel like, because, there's just, okay, because Danielle, obviously, because of Danielle, I know so much about the...
Big ups, Danielle.
Yeah.
Mega talent.
About the Johnson family.
Jordan.
And Jordan. But
and of course there's Winston. Yeah. Don't leave him out.
And then your mom, and then of course Winston, and then
yes,
you know,
yes.
Danielle's grandma, and there's so much Johnson legacy.
Yeah,
that's such. What does that legacy kind of mean to you?
I think that means everything. It's like my grandmother was like a really independent woman, and I think she made a lot of sacrifices. And then then it was my mom. And I grew up with my mom and my grandmother and, you know, two very Creole women and, but two very different women, both very strong, both very independent, but my mother did not work outside of the home, which was really cool because, you know, we had tea parties and just a lot of fun stuff growing up, so I... Danielle's dancing out the door.
Yeah, she's trying to make us laugh on the podcast.
So, yeah, it's just like a legacy of women that are very... Like, my mom was very creative. Like, in my office, I have this hand on a stand. And then I have pictures of my mother and father in black and white mm-hmm. and their wedding picture. So, I think my creativity comes from... You know, my mother, because she's very creative, very artistic, and I think yeah, that kind of rubbed off on me.
Yeah. That's interesting. I noticed you said she didn't work outside of the home, and I thought that was a very cool, specific distinction.
Yeah.
What do you think about that as far as working? Because that's interesting to me, because obviously no one who's... staying at home is not working because there's so much work to be done. And then
right.
Some people also now work from home. Their whole jobs are at home too. So there's just so much. There's so much that we're learning about, like home life and work life balance. What did you kind of take away from your mom on the work life balance front when you saw that?
I was glad that my mom didn't work outside of the home mm-hmm. because I just feel like I want to protect my mom. I wanted to protect my mom from, you know, like the stress of a job, you know, five kids, we were military, you know, the five kids, her mom. And so it was a lot. It was a lot to do. You know, it was a, she worked a lot because like my mom was very creative. So it's like every day she would redecorate the house. Like one day this would be a bedroom. The next day it's a den. I mean, she was just, she was always creating. She would paint. She would do a lot of things. And so I'm just grateful that I had that experience with not dealing with a parent that was gone. Mm-hmm. My dad was gone during the day, but he got off early. So we really had a good family life because my mom and my grandmother were there all the time, and my dad was there. And so it was really cool. Very different from me because I had Danielle when I was in college, and so I was a single parent. And so Danielle spent the majority of her time with these older Creole women. And I was going to school, working, sometimes working three jobs. But, you know, I always try to give my kids what I got.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's jump into, I mean, it's very cool. Because I know sometimes people just say that, and then my tone's very even, so sometimes you can't tell what I'm thinking. But I mean, like, it's very cool, and I plan to go back and listen to that again, because, you know, when I listen, I start thinking about a lot of different things, and I think there's just so much in there, even, you know, from Danielle's upbringing and to what you were doing. But that was a good transition into your work life. So what has your work life been like?
My work life has been, I've spent a lot of years, you know, doing different things. I have 3 degrees and 3 different areas. But what I've learned, Daniel's dancing outside the door now, very slowly, very slowly. Pick up the pace, girl. So what I've learned is that I spent my whole life, like, doing work for other people. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point in my life, I want to transition into using my talent for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Using the gifts and talents that He gave me for myself. You mm-hmm. know, I've done great programs for other people. You know, a lot of different things where it was the first, you know, pioneered a lot of programs. But I realized that, you know, I'm a talented writer. I started writing books probably about 15 years ago. But, you know, going to school, working, raising a family, being single, I didn't finish them. I started 3 books. And then recently I started writing a children's book with songs. Mm. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I have some really nice songs with that. And then Rodney's an opera and jazz singer, so he put out his CD. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, you got to pay royalties to all these artists. So you know what? I'm going to write your songs. Mm-hmm. So I wrote like 8 songs. Mm-hmm. And so we're just, now that we've moved, we're settled, we're going to start producing those songs and getting those songs out there. And, you know, I want to write. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be in a box anymore and come out the box on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And there's the real you.
Yeah.
And during Monday through Friday, it's like, you're the genie robot. Yeah, I know. I'm just like, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So we met during one of your programs, and it was an amazing program. Indeed, we did. And also, you are a Creator Award winner. You won a Creator Award for my company, Project Forward, for your production. And that was one of the events that you produced. But then I noticed, which is why we you won that award, and Danielle brought it up to my attention. And there were a few people. It's not a completely isolated decision process. But you have produced a ton of events, and you were producing a lot of those out of the Carver Library, which arguably, you know, is a very important library in San Antonio, especially because it's the, you know, aka the Black Library, and Black culture is so much of a part of America, and of course the lives of Black people, but in America too, which is a mostly white country, Black culture is still a huge, huge part of what drives the culture of this country for a number of reasons. So, I mean, those events that you were doing were so profound. You know, the one that I got to be a part of, you know, that was great. That was one of the best. To this date, it might be one of the best. I was going to say the best, but I don't like to just say random stuff. But it's definitely one of the best events that I've been a part of, being able to do that and to speak at a workshop. And those kinds of opportunities are what make creators.
Right.
Really.
For sure. That workshop, from that workshop, about three people published their books.
Wow.
After that. And they came back. And that was like, sometimes when you start a project, you don't know where it's going to go. And it kind of, you know, just as long as you stay on the right path, and it just, you know, it has a life of its own. And so when we did that day, and you were one of the speakers, and Kevin was one of the speakers, it was such diversity in the speakers for that workshop that it gave everybody in the room something. It was like everybody got some golden nuggets from that workshop. And I was like, wow, half the workshop I had my dress, my skirt upside down and backwards.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I realized, oh my God, girl, what's going on? But that's kind of, you know, I mean, I definitely do me, and, you know, I'm very comfortable in my skin, whether my skirt's upside down or not. And so that what happened at that workshop was we had a lot of people that were comfortable in their skin presenting, that made the people at the workshop comfortable with their creativity. And so from that, they blossomed and they published their books, and they were very motivated and they stayed motivated. So that's really cool. Whatever I do, it's like I don't do stuff just to do stuff. I don't have time for that. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to do something that has a lasting result, you know, and it changes people's lives, you know. Otherwise, it's just like in vain. You're just wasting time.
And that's amazing. Like, to think about the fact that you helped three people publish their books, that is really what I hope for these days. When I think about the music that I make or a poem that I write, I'm like, what do I really want people to get out of this stuff? And really, I want them to get to a place where they can create what they want.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing a lot of creators do miss out on. They're, you know, like, people also want to be creators. And so, and that's how they choose the music they listen to. You might say, oh, why is this person listening to this gangster music? It's because they have to wake up and go through a gangster day. And they want to win.
Yeah.
And they don't want to
get
eaten up. They don't want to lose. So they can't have a non-gangster mentality. And so they need something to get them on that level. And so that event got a lot of people on that level to where they could win creatively. What would you say when it comes to, and then just in general, I know with Love at First Taste, which we did with Danielle, and we put little bits of that out. And I know you and Danielle have gone through, thought so much about the entertainment industry. What were maybe just throughout your life, if you could pick different goals or thinking about it right now, when it comes to the entertainment industry and media and all this stuff, what are some more of your goals just in that area as far as projects that you want to accomplish, things that you're interested in doing?
Well, I think one thing is that, Danielle and I we work well together because we feed off of each other, and we're like finish each other's sentences. So we like have great ideas that we've had for years that now we want to bring to fruition. We want to produce these ideas. You know, I see commercial and I'm like, oh, man, I could write that commercial or, you know, advertising. We have such great ideas for shows, for plays. And we went to New York one year. Her and I wrote something and we submitted it like 15 minutes before the deadline. And she won and we went to New York. And I think that was Ryan Leslie project with, it had, what was that dealership? I can't think of the car. Lexus and Ryan Leslie. And I think it was Vibe Magazine. So yeah, I mean, if I have 100% of my time to devote to my creativity and my projects, I think it's, you know, what I can accomplish is endless. I think I'm starting later in life, but, you know, it's still life. There's still a lot of life in me. There's still a lot of energy in me. There's still a lot of ideas. And, like, Shonda Rhimes? Am I right?
That's someone. I know that's the person.
Grey's Anatomy. I mean, that was late. She started late with that, and that was like she created a lot of projects.
You know, one of the frustrating things that I have to deal with in myself is realizing that I'm not going to be really good at anything until I'm about 45. And I know that sounds weird because of the way that culture kind of really gets young people hype on being somebody, but what young people don't understand is that through the ages of like 20 and 40, I really don't think you know anything. So when you don't know anything, you can still provide energy to a system, you know, and you can be known for that, but you're not actually doing the stuff. You know, if you're a great basketball player, you didn't actually set up the NBA and you don't understand the intricacies of the business. Same thing with these musicians. Yes, you're the face and you're the energy of it. But as far as really doing something, people don't actually get started until, you know, at least deep into their 30s, if not 40s, 50s, the stuff that's really, really big. And I think it's unfortunate in the Black community and just any slightly less funded community, the young people don't always have as cool systems to provide energy to. And so they don't get the self-esteem boost unless they go do, you know, sports or something like that. They don't get the self-esteem boost of being functional in their 20s.
I think that people have peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. You have peak seasons where you have a whole lot of creativity, and then you have those times where you're in the valley. But, you know, what I realize is when I'm in the valley, when I'm in those low times...
Isn't that like Laredo?
Yeah, Laredo. When
shout
I'm
out
in
to our
Laredo
guest,
and I have these...
To...
What's up, guys? You got the private jet.
Yeah.
My mom's here.
The private jet in the hallway.
In the valleys, you are... That's actually the creativity time.
That is...
You know, plants grow at night?
Yeah. No.
They get sunlight during the day,
but
they actually grow at night.
Really? That's interesting.
Shout out to Mr. Composition. He doesn't always fact check, though, so I'm not...
I don't believe that.
But I think that's very true. It makes
a
lot of sense.
I'm going to Google that. Yeah.
I don't
but,
know. Do you see time lapses of plants during the day? Growing.
The time lapses are over long periods of... Or, I don't know.
They're over like a day.
Okay, we are not plant people. We don't really know. But what...
Major growth, I guess.
But what I'm saying is those times when you're in the valley... You know, I think I found a lot of creativity out of my pain, out of my exhaustion, out of my, you know, trying to get out of this dog-eat-dog work 9-to-5 type of thing and try to transition into, you know, my own thing. And I think, you know, that for everybody... I don't know if there's a certain age where you... I think people definitely peak at different periods, but I think as you get older, you get a better understanding of yourself and how to manage yourself and your creativity. And so I think that I've done that. I've kind of come to a point where, you know what? It's like I'm a jump in the deep water and I'm a swim. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was like, wait, jump in the, don't get too close to the edge. Don't jump in. You got these two kids. You gotta stay out of that water. You can't, you know, you can't take the risk.
Yeah.
Now it's like, yeah, I think I can take the risk.
Yeah, I believe that. Who's your favorite kid, me or Jordan?
Both.
Tell us, let's hear highlights of me and Jordan. What makes us different?
Okay, we're definitely not going into that.
What's
cool about this podcast,
ask her two things about she likes about Jordan, two things she likes about me.
Okay, let me say this really fast. What's cool about this podcast, because I don't think anyone else could do this kind of podcast with this many of their family. Actually, I do, which is the whole basis of my company, Project Forward. But I think it is unique that we're able to do this podcast. Actually, I don't even think I can use the word unique. All I can say for sure is that the reason why I'm able to do the podcast with, you know, Jeannie, Rodney, and then we did our parents, Lalu and Yemisi, mm-hmm. and Danielle. We haven't done Yemisi. That's my mom. She's going to be the hardest. I'm only using their first names because we're in podcast world right now. But I think what's unique about it is because we have so many, especially on the Johnson side of the family, there's so many extremely talented people. Actually, definitely on my side of the family too. My sister and I recorded a podcast with her.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
for sure.
I think that is so very interesting, and I'm really excited to see all this stuff work. Because me and Rodney were jamming out on the piano yesterday and today.
Just to talk about yourself. Mom, what's
I just wanted to let them know that this is a family.
I will answer that question.
Okay. She can answer that as she
I will them. Answer that question. Mm-hmm. Danielle and Jordan are night and day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They're night and day. They're very different, but they're both very, very talented, very mm-hmm. creative, and they're
and
both
Jordan,
and they're both about achieving their goals. And one thing I like about both of them is that they're not, they jump in the deep water mm-hmm. and they just stay in that deep water and they keep swimming till whatever they do hits. Yeah. And they don't compromise and say, you know what, I'm gonna go with corporate America. And it's not for everybody. That's not for everybody. And the thing is, I'm glad that they have the ability in their lives to be like, you know what? I don't have to do that right now. I don't have kids. I'm going to stay in this deep water and I'm going to keep swimming till, you know, I hit the motherland.
Yeah. Who's funnier, me or Jordan?
Well, you know, Jordan's an introvert. You're an extrovert. So you're pretty funny. Like, you make me laugh when I'm down.
I'm the funniest of my hands down. Jordan is going to make you laugh by something he did accidentally. I'm out. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Danielle.
You're welcome.
So we covered most of the big areas as far as, and obviously not, but how could you cover all the stuff in one podcast? But you, as far as writing music, and then when it comes to production, I think as a producer, you already have a ridiculously stellar career behind you. And I think really there's a lot of that probably needs to be documented in reverse almost.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that all those workshops need to be repeated. And they were one-offs, but they needed to be like weekly.
Yeah, they need to. I mean,
and for real. In San Antonio, you know, there's so much room for people to be creating. And everyone needs to be creating at high volumes if mm-hmm. anyone is able to, if anyone's going to be getting sustainable income off of it. High volumes.
Right. So it's just like, you know, like I said, you know, all these years I spent working for other people doing, you know, mm-hmm. making them look great, you know, and, you know, not for myself. But one thing that I noticed that you do is you continually to consistently do the same thing. Just like if it was your job and you spent 25, 30 years doing the same thing, you're doing the same thing, but you're doing what you love, what you enjoy. So your life is rich, you know, it's full. You know, you can't be disappointed at the end of the day when you've done what you wanted to do and you've accomplished what you wanted. It doesn't all turn up roses and butterflies. Oh, yeah. But at the end of the day, in the beginning of the day, you're genuinely you the whole day, the whole process. So, you know, one thing I would say to people is, you know, do your life the way you want to do it.
You know, that brings up, okay, we got just a little bit of time because my laptop is kind of dying.
I got happy hour, but, too. Let's not play. Let's not play.
But we'll try to get this, because this is bringing up something to me that I think is really interesting. Because you as a producer, and why I think you got Producer of the Year from Project Forward, which is no small award. As people start looking back at these Project Forward awards and who won them, and I'm going to do a better job at sharing it, it's going to be very interesting to see what those people do. But the Producer of the Year award, and even right now we're in your office, which you've had for 2 days, and if people can see what my office looks like, which I've had for about 4 or 5 months, versus your office that you've had for like 2 weeks, 2 days or whatever, since you really put it together, we can see there's a huge difference, even in, and it's not just like nice furniture, there's also depth there with your grandma and stuff, your mom's stuff and your nana's stuff. I think there's a lot to be said over your production ability. And I'm trying to drive at something super specific. That's why I keep coming at it. And I think it's something more like context. And you were talking about how you can't be mad at the end of the day if you've done what you've wanted. And I think thinking about these days as containers, I think a lot of your production skill, it's been aimed only, in a lot of different directions and a lot of different stuff, but now as you're using it as your tool, your superpower, I think thinking about days as containers and filling them up with something, or thinking about rooms and then being able to turn them into something, thinking about events and then being able to fill those out with great workshops, thinking about songs and being able to fill those out with great lyrics, and then thinking about time, videos, and being able to fill those out with great pieces of content and that assembly. Because for me, that's where me and Mr. Composition, we do a lot of work together. And the one thing we're thinking about right now that I'm really seeing in fulfillment, and why this is also, I know this all doesn't seem related, but I'm tying it together, why this is one of the coolest Thanksgivings that I've ever had. I'm talking top-notch food, everything, and your new house is beautiful. Which is why we're still here, 4 p.m. on Black Friday. We haven't gone home, even though we only live 12 minutes away. Is because you have that skill, a very deep skill for production. And you reach across years, and you reach across genres, and you reach across lifestyles and cultures to create what you're doing, and which is what makes each instance of it so rich. And I can definitely see, as far as product creators, you're actually my favorite product creator because you created my fiance. So, obviously,
there's no one. Yeah, that was a good project right there. That was a 9-month project. Yeah, and then it was a final push on that. And then the next
30 years that you did before I met her. So, I just think that there's something really resonant in there. And I guess we'll close it out with you just saying whatever you think about all the stuff that I just said.
So what I think is, I'm excited about 2020. Mm-hmm. My life changed a lot in 2019. I got married. We traveled. I wrote music. We bought a house, you know. And in 2020, I have a lot of things that I'm going to accomplish in 2020. And I think, you know, if I can leave anything with anybody, is that right when you think that you're at your lowest point, get ready, because you're about to rise up and it's going to be the greatest comeback that you've ever. I've been low, but I always rise up. And so I feel like I'm getting ready to rise up and bring some people with me, and, you know, to God be the glory that, you know, that these music and these songs get produced, they get out there, they change lives. I write songs for my husband, and I write it as a man. And I guess, you know, like you said, I reach across different genres. A lot of my lyrics are kind of country, but we switch them to jazz. I write them more from a country or a spiritual realm, and then we kind of push them out there a little jazzy. But yeah, 2020, I have a globe in my office, and it has 2019. 2019 was the beginning of me, you know, so maybe I'll write a song about that. Called The Beginning of Me. Yeah, I'll do that tonight. It's been great, Kenyo.
We look forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're also a Project Forward member, so we've given her a lifetime membership. And because actually you were anyway, I completely forgot, because you won a creator award. And so you get it for a year that you haven't used. So we're starting that year now, because I was going to tell you to do your plugs. Are you you're on Instagram?
I'm not on Instagram, but 2020, yeah.
That's why she's a Project Forward member, guys. She's going to be on all this
stuff. Yes, that's why I have you, yeah.
So she's super duper accessible, so you can find her thoughts and her. So until then, just, you know, keep looking out for Jeannie Johnson. And thank you guys for listening to this podcast so much.
Thanks for listening. We hope that we touched you super well.
On some type of goal. Thank you for listening to the Hashtag Goals podcast hosted by me and Kenyo. If you have questions or you want a goal to be like addressed, make sure you hit us on our Instagrams, Facebooks, and Twitters.
See ya.